Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Wake up, up, up.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey, waking.
Good morning.
Wake up, up, up.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell.
Please have your attention, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Particularly this week, Senator Santorum, you have a new television ad that labels him a fake. Why?
Because he's a fake.
Robert Scott Bell.
Are you aware of the ingredients in the vaccine?
I know there's some egg.
I don't think they offered us a list of ingredients, though.
But did you know that there's mercury in that shot?
Oh, I did not.
Robert Scott Bell.
The only thing that supporters of the raw food movement are sick of is people telling them what they can or cannot put in their mouth.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
It's another travel day for RSB as he's heading home. That's me. Why am I talking in the third person? Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Very exciting. As I'm traveling, you're going to be listening to some really killer interviews that we conducted at the Health Freedom Expo, and what an expo it was. Sensational. I want to thank everybody that came out to say hi and support this message of health freedom and liberty. And if you missed it, a lot of the DVDs are available for purchase, I think, at the Health Freedom Expo's website. Also, Chicago coming up. That will be, of course, June, I think, 14th through 16th in Schaumburg, Illinois. Make plans. It is life-changing in a very, very positive and powerful way. We got lots more coming up for you this week, but I'm, like I said, I'm on the way home, so I've conducted a number of interviews over this past weekend that we were at Super Don. Thanks to Super Don, even though I'm flying, you're going to be flying with great information. Interviews including, we're going to kick it off with Andrew Wakefield, Dr. Wakefield, who was there for the autism crew, and we got a great, great interview with updates from Andy Wakefield. As well as my dear friend Mike Torsha, who I haven't had on in a while, from Operation Fitness. She's got a lot of events happening around the country, maybe coming to a city near you, New Jersey, New York, Boston, of course, Los Angeles. So listen in on that. GMOs, yes, great news. Jeffrey Smith is going to join us for an interview. Jeffrey's amazing. Got to go out and have a nice meal with him. We made sure no GMOs were on the menu. So that was cool. Jeffrey Smith, also matching grant, the health ranger, Mike Adams, has put out there for all of you to donate to help finish the film. He'll talk about that. Then we go to Elizabeth Plord. We're going to talk about dangers of sunscreens as biohazards. Very interesting book you'll have access to. And then I was kind of corralled. A lot of people said, you got to interview this guy, Bruce Ames, this PhD doctor, teacher, researcher, retired, real old guy. Nice guy. But you want to hear an interview that turned contentious? I don't normally do those, not on purpose anyway. And it did. You are going to be in for a shock. But I am polite, but yes, I was incredulous as well. But you're going to have to stay tuned for that. Lots of cool stuff that happened. All the way to Sean Stone, which we're not going to air today. This will maybe be tomorrow or the next day. But a shocking interview with Sean Stone, going into the energetics, the black magic, and other things surrounding the history of this planet and the controlling elite on it. And did he really convert to Islam? We're going to get the skinny on that as well, as he talked to Ahmadinejad to try and avert war, World War III. That's a good thing. Sean Stone's a good guy. We met him, and that'll be coming up. So lots of cool stuff today. Thanks to Super Don. Going to make it work. Real quick, want to give you the update as the latest that I know it. And, of course, Mike Adams, the health ranger, Natural News, working on behind the scenes on the Rossum Foods raid. Defendants James Stewart and Sharon Palmer, ambushed in California court the other day when they appeared for a preliminary hearing about the multiple felony charges that have been ludicrously, and I say that and I read it and I repeat it, placed against them for engaging in farm fresh food production and distribution. Now, I've been saying the powers that be are freaking out in fear of you because you're now eating raw, organic, healthier local foods. And they realize that the more of you that do that, the less that they're going to be able to control you. because you're going to see through their lies. And this is why they're having to attack. There are other issues at play here, but what was fascinating, and Mike Adams revealed some of this behind the scenes at the Health Freedom Expo through the Skype Connect that we did, about the fact that they were finding that many of the people involved in the raid, from those that wrote the warrant, right, all the way through to the agents that were arresting them and raiding Rossa, may not have on file an oath of office. Now, they're investigating further about this, but if that's the case, then you can pull their bond, if they even have a bond. So, fascinating things if the shadow government is utilizing agents basically operating under color of law to basically, you know, instill fear in the population so that you will not drink raw milk, eat local organic food, because if you do, that could be the end for them. So you continue to eat steak. And as I'm doing this, it's the night before you're hearing this in San Diego. So stay classy, San Diego. As who was it that said that? Will Ferrell in Anchorman. Anyway, we got a lot of cool stuff. As I said, Dr. Andrew Wakefield coming up. We've got the Autism One Conference also happening in Chicago later in the summer. Mike Torsha, Operation Fitness, Jeffrey Smith, Just Say No to GMOs, Elizabeth Plord. We're going to talk about sunscreens as biohazards, and Bruce Ames. You want to hear an inadvertently, unexpectedly contentious interview with a nice older gentleman, scientist. Again, nice guy, but we'll talk about that. I'll have about a minute to wrap up today, according to what Super Don is telling me. So I very much appreciate all the support. I would encourage you, please tell your friends about the Robert Scott Bell Show. Go to robertscottbell.com. If you're not already getting the updates daily through naturalnewsradio.com, just fill in your email and you will be alerted daily as to all the goings on this, the United States and world of health talk radio. How cool is that? 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. If you have any questions or comments, got some great comments on the web. When I get back in the home studio, we'll be able to comment on them as well at robertscottbell.com. So thanks for being here with me every day. Thanks for spreading the word. Now it's time to enjoy the Health Freedom Expo, even if you weren't there. Great interviews coming up next.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Godzilla! Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
The
The Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, continuing now with, I'd almost call it a man on the street interview, but it's the man on the Health Freedom Expo street. And right now I got a great man coming on board here, Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Andy, so nice to see you, my friend. It's great to meet you finally in person here at the Expo, and it's been wonderful. Got to attend an event that was supporting your efforts as well. We'll talk about so many things, but again, how's the time been at Health Freedom? Have they kind of looked at you funny and kind of said, what are you doing here? Are they going, we're glad to have you on board?
Right, that's one of the places, few places I go in the world where people don't look at me strangely anymore. So, Robert, it's great to talk to you again and again to meet you in person. So, thank you.
You know, it is amazing to think about how your simple observations, and we've talked before on the air, your observations, simply reporting your observations, became such a worldwide stir that you are now, you know, persona non grata in some cases in the UK, in the medical profession, in the, you know, what my friend John Rappaport calls the church of biological mysticism. I mentioned that. That you have to go to a place and go, wow, I'm actually welcome here. I mean, would you have ever perceived that in your life, that you would be looking at a life that changes the way you can interact with the entire world?
No, I mainstream medicine, that was what I was in, that's what I was doing. You report your observations and, you know, they're right or wrong, and time will tell. But this met with the most vitriolic reaction, the most extraordinary reaction, because, of course, it went right to the heart of public health policy and challenged profits and questioned whether vaccines had actually been properly tested for safety. And the more I got into it, the more concerned I became.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to a point, do you back away or do you keep going? And it seemed to me that the professional, the logical, and the compassionate course was to keep answering the questions.
Yeah, and it seems that some people say if they knew what they were getting into, right, they might have chosen a different path. I'll give you an example. Gary Matsumoto wrote a book, Vaccine A, all about the squalene adjuvant, the MF59 that was added to the anthrax shot that was given to a lot of the troops, some of the British soldiers as well, the American soldiers, that exhibited the Gulf War illness. He wrote an expose, just observed, reported the science, and he thought, I'm being a good guy. I'm a reporter. That's what I do. He was met with such viciousness and attacks that he said, you'll never work again, basically. They pulled him. He was a mainstream ABC reporter and such, and appearing on TV and nationally as a reporter. Suddenly, no jobs. And he confided at the time, if I knew, I might not have made the decision. How do you look at your life now, having made the decision to simply do what I believe to be the right thing? But and I know you do as well, but look at what's happened. I mean, do you say, wow, do I make a different decision, or do you deal with where you are now and this is your mission?
Well, you know, you meet a couple of trigger points along the way, and one was during the original paper. My colleagues, some of them said to me, maybe we can report the bowel disease, but maybe we should not mention the parental reports of regression after MMR vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you can't do that. You can't censor the science. You know, you're beholden to these people. You can't censor their story. It either stands or it doesn't stand, but don't take it out just because it's inconvenient. So you meet these sort of points along the path where you can go one way or another, and you try and pursue what is right. Now, I've met Gary, and I talked to him down in Austin. He's living in Austin now.
Oh, wonderful to hear. I hope he's doing okay.
He seemed good, you know. Okay. But again, there was a clear tinge of regret and missing the what was clearly a very, very prestigious job that he was doing as a foreign correspondent. And
well, he must have felt for you going through what you're going through, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then we had some short stories to share, for sure. But coming back to the original question, no, I like to think that I would do exactly the same thing again. The way in which it was done might be subtly different, sure, with the, you know, with hindsight. But no, in essence, what I was doing was simply a job.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't particularly brilliant, or it wasn't particularly brave. It was just seeking to answer the parental questions and do what was right for the children.
Yes, and we continue to find more and more gastrointestinal inflammatory diseases, and I don't mean only among children, but I think this has become a rampant, I dare say, epidemic, but it's not in that sense. But so much of my interaction with my own, from my own starting point to the point of people helping people, even here at the Health Freedom Expo, that want to be well, and you look and you see and you can sense that this is a problem that is much larger than even that small observation, but maybe it could be a lightning rod, a focal point of attention to understand where disease really originates in this case.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, particularly from a gastroenterological point of view, that we are what we eat, and the gut is at the core of so much health. Gut bacteria mm-hmm. are now emerging as a main player in not only your immune health, but in fact in your behavior and the development of your brain. It's a fascinating field.
That is stunning when I started learning about the microbiome and the flora just producing things that were considered brain chemicals. And you were relying upon the microbial world, for which modern medicine, all the way back to Pasteur, declared war upon it. You know, that it was the microbe that was our enemy, and it turns out just the opposite. We are wholly dependent upon the microbial world for our very existence.
Yes, exactly. And I was at a meeting recently where a scientist described us as, in terms of our metabolism, as nine parts bacteria, one part human, which is a very humbling observation.
Yes.
But they could take animals and they could predict how that animal would respond to acetaminophen in terms of toxicity mm-hmm. based not upon when they'd received the drug, but just based upon their urinary bacterial metabolites.
Really?
What bacteria they had in their gut determined whether they would live or die in the mm-hmm. face of an acetaminophen overdose.
Wow.
It's your gut bacteria. You look after them. Make sure they're healthy because
yes.
you need them.
Well, absolutely. It's funny. It always reminds me of, Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. In the end, you find the mice were running the whole place and the humans were the experiments. You know, these microbes are, running the whole show. And yes, it's very humbling, but it's very empowering once you learn that, because those are some of the greatest teachers, you know, whether they be in the realm of the Rudolf Steiner, if we go back to Antoine Béchamp, if we go back to Claude Bernard, right? And these are the people that are all the unsung heroes to me, because Pasteur got all of the glory. He knew the emperor. It's always been about who you know. That now we're coming back to that understanding that the terrain, the milieu, the environment really establishes what kind of life grows there. And it's quite opposite to what we have been in the Western world taught and brought up in an allopathic viewpoint, that we must somehow conquer that world in order to restrain it from killing us all the time.
Yes, we must understand it and we must live with it in harmony. And these systems are set up so early on, mm-hmm. right from the moment we're born. The acquisition of the bugs in our gut determine our long-term health. And we showed some years ago that the way in which you were born, by vaginal delivery or cesarean section, and therefore the way in which you acquired your gut flora,
right.
either from your mother or from the hospital, mm-hmm. determine whether you had a long-term risk of Crohn's disease or not. You may not develop the disease till you're 30 years of age.
Right.
But the way in which you were born, mm-hmm. and therefore likely your pattern of exposure to gut bacteria, was going to determine your risk of disease.
At the time, you know, in the 1960s, doctors were even more godlike. You know, there's more humbling experiences happening to the medical profession we know now. But they said to my mom, hey, breast milk, you don't need that. Your kid doesn't need. We got great stuff. It's better than what you got. Get here, this can of powder. Just mix some water in it and have your kid drink it. And I projectiled that stuff out as fast as I could, which that's how I knew I was a smart kid, right? But the point is, you adapt. If you are given even inadequate foods, you find a way to survive, right? And it's amazing. That's the adaptation syndrome, that we find a way, but it's not optimal. It's not ideal. You've got to tuck away certain toxins, some of the imbalances or corruptions of the gut ecology. And that way, if you don't get the colostrum, if you don't get the breast milk, which now, literally, the new terrorists in America are not, you know, Islamo-fascists. They are Amish farmers producing milk that is raw and real, and the simple act of wanting to provide that to a community becomes a criminal act now.
It isn't extraordinary. The control that people have over the way in which people run their lives is extraordinary, even in America. And it's tragic. I think the wonderful thing about coming to this meeting and talking to people here is that you embrace a group of people who are of a like mind.
Yes.
You know, you may agree or disagree with their precise point or the way in which they are doing what they're doing, but their perception of health freedom
yes.
is essential to the survival of medicine as I know it, medicine mm-hmm. as I understand it, and that is not a medicine that is controlled by big industrial interests, big pharmaceutical companies, and effectively corrupt or incompetent governments.
Yeah, isn't that the point? As I've said so many times here, someone that works in natural medicine, coming back from the allopathic upbringing that I had, I don't throw the allopathic side of the water, out. It's not my purpose in doing so. I want to see accountability. I would like to see real science emerge, because I embrace that and try to bring that to my audience as well as you've done just by reporting on that. And it's still astonishing. And I still sometimes will hear people that are, that doesn't happen. Really? I used to get that a lot more when I've reported this. Oh, come on. You mean a doctor's going to be attacked because he's not prescribing enough drugs? Yes, I know these doctors personally. they were tracking prescription rates and watching them go down as the doctor became more holistically oriented and nutrition oriented. And suddenly they were investigated by the board. No complaints from the patients, but simply there was a controlling interest coming back to that corporate control of medicine. And, of course, the government involvement therein.
Yeah, and I've had the same thing in interviews where I've been accused of being conspiracy theorist. And I say, I've never mentioned that. I've never mentioned the word conspiracy. That is your word to the interviewer. And I say, I see it as a ruthless pragmatism. Mm-hmm. They're protecting their interests. And you only have to go to, I think I said it to, I can't remember his name, one of them. I said to him, you don't need to talk about conspiracy. If you looked at the Merck memos coming out of Australia and the Vioxx litigation, the internal memos, the talking about doctors who dissented from the safety of Vioxx, and one Merck employee to another saying, we may have to seek them out and destroy them where they live.
Yes.
I mean, that is corporate policy, emerging corporate policy. What an extraordinary...
That's warfare language.
That is warfare language.
Yeah.
Seek them out and destroy them where they live. This is a corporate executive talking about how they will treat doctors who do not approve of their drug. And the legacy of that, of course, is that Merck then has to pay millions and millions and millions in compensation for people who were damaged from that product. So you don't even need to discuss conspiracy theory when you're talking corporate policy.
We call it conspiracy fact, right? You know, and there's something that you talk about a warlike atmosphere. I mentioned it just from the paradigm, if you will. But if you look at the idea of conquer, attack, find out where they are and destroy them, it just so much reminds me of the antibiotic paradigm. I mean, it used to be in modern medicine, they utilized, for instance, silver. I talk about silver a lot. Or other, even botanicals to address these things, because in nature we have things that we have validated, and even with peer-reviewed published literature, have an antimicrobial property that don't have the same destructive impact, like a napalm bomb going off in the intestinal system, whether it be from vaccination or whether it be from the antibiotics or antimicrobials, because the fungal antifungal drugs and antiviral drugs can also show high liver toxicity and inflammatory results within the gastrointestinal system as well. So we got to grow up. And I say the modern medicine, if you will, that has to grow up and start taking ownership responsibility. Go, okay, all right, this is what we do. And we, okay, fine. You do it and I want it, then I'll come to you. But don't pretend that you're something that you're not.
Yeah, and don't make it the only option. Don't tell me I can't go to someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's very very important. Like you said, and freedom, if we would embrace that, and the docs that I love so dearly, and yourself included, embrace that freedom. Also, the innovation that comes from the ability to exchange ideas, to observe things, and say, hey, that's what peer review used to be about. I observed this. Look at this. Hey, let's discuss this. Is this, you know, did I do something wrong? Oh, wow. But now it's like a complete censorship game as opposed to genuine innovation. Let's find out the next breakthrough, and let's tout that legitimately.
Yeah, I mean, if you just take autism as an example, I've never met a disease for whom there are so many experts, and yet we know nothing. How can you be an expert in a disease about which so little is known? And yet it's littered with people who are... There's a very interesting debate going on at the moment, as you probably know, the change from the DSM-4 revised to DSM-5. Yes. In other words, they are deliberately changing the diagnostic criteria, it seems, to exclude pervasive developmental disorder and Asperger's from a diagnosis of autistic spectrum disorder.
Right,
now,
right.
The effect of that will be to reduce the number of children who are eligible for services. But what, in fact, this is an interesting psychological game. That one of the tragedies for this disorder is it fell into the hands of child psychiatrists rather than doctors who think about medicine in an organic way. Let's put that right first before we assume it's a psychological or behavioral disorder.
Right, right.
Now, it's rather like this changing DSM in the face of all of the deficiencies in our knowledge.
Yes.
What are they doing fiddling around with the diagnostic criteria?
Yes.
And it reminds me of a story of the two cockerels in the farmyard. The two, one old cockerel and the young cockerel.
All right, for our American audience, they don't even know what a cockerel is.
What is a cockerel? What do you call it?
Are we talking about a bird?
A male hen. Yeah.
Yes, a male hen. I thought so, but the thing is, we can't assume. I love the language differences, but the cockerel, okay, so the male, so it's the cock, it's the rooster. Right?
The rooster,
yeah,
the rooster,
yeah.
Okay. The old rooster, the young rooster,
yes.
Okay? And the young rooster comes in and he starts taking over all the young hens.
Mm-hmm.
And the old rooster looks at this, and rather than confronting the young rooster, he goes and starts making love to a rusty bucket. And he pretends that he's doing the right thing. Hey, check my rusty bucket. But what he's doing is displacement activity.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something that he's pretending is important
right.
when it's a complete and utter waste of time.
Yes.
And that is exactly what is going on in the changing diagnostic criteria for autism. Mm-hmm. It is displacement activity. And the failure of any progress coming from child psychiatry, they're indulging in this process of changing mm-hmm. the diagnostic criteria. Medicine has lost its way.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. I want to talk to Dr. Andrew Wakefield about some of the emerging, let's say, corrective things that you've identified. We'll discuss some of those things. And, you know, who knows what else? It's such a pleasure to have you on board here and finally connect with you in person at the Health Freedom Expo, an ideal place to connect on such an important topic. So we'll be right back after this.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? Immune Tree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Robert Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Oh, righty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
We continue on here, The Healing Path with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, and he's with me at the Health Freedom Expo. And again, having a great time here. A lot of people with kind words. I mean, it's nice to see you embraced as you walk around and people learn, oh, that's Andrew Wakefield. And they like you. They really like you. Kind of like Sally Field at the Academy Awards so many years ago. And, well, again, I'm just happy to see that that this community and crowd understands what you're doing and how important and significant it is. And it's not that we want to see anybody martyred. And to some degree, you're not, because you're still here. You're alive. You're kicking. And you're fighting back, too, which we love. But if we talk about the big deal, you know, if you're a doctor, you're in it to heal and help people. I mean, that would be the true kind of motivation. And I'm not saying everybody's motivated accordingly, but it seems to me that your place, your heart, so to speak, is in the right place because you're trying to get information out that really is going to help people.
Yeah, I mean, my commitment, the way I went into medicine in the first place, was to care for people who are sick. And that hasn't changed. And I like to think that I've stayed true to that throughout. Mm. I didn't go into it to become a shill for the pharmaceutical industry or to necessarily follow government policy just because it was government policy,
mm-hmm.
but to put the interests of the patient first and foremost.
Yes. And if we look at putting that, just like you said, the patient first and foremost, now we got to say, okay, we identify gastrointestinal inflammation, damage, etc. What do we do now? Now, we talked about the microbiome, the flora, and there's a lot of science coming out about the healing aspect of putting the right kind of flora in. But what concerns me is that we have taken the Amazon rainforest and just stripped it and turned it into a desert in there. And we're thinking, can we just throw that in? So if you have any insight, things that you found to be efficient and effective, if you're comfortable speaking about it, it would be, just kind of throw it out there is what you're seeing.
Of course. I mean, the things that were, first of all, we discovered, the children had profound symptoms. The children, regressive autism, often onset following a vaccine, and gastrointestinal symptoms. Put to one side, mm-hmm. child's got autism, they're entitled to have a diarrhea 12 times a day. No, they're not. No. They've got something fundamentally wrong with their gut, and it may well be linked to their behavior, an insight provided by the parents. So what do we find really, really works for these children? Well, firstly, you need a diagnosis. I mean, let's get the diagnosis. Let's find the inflammation. Define what it is. Is it mm-hmm. Crohn's? Is it colitis? Is it some other form of inflammation? Is it food allergy? That gives us a starting point for the appropriate treatment. One of the most effective things in the early years has been the gluten casein-free diet. Now, that was a parental insight.
Yeah.
It was then subjected to rigorous science, and there are now four papers out, of controlled clinical trials showing benefit. Mm-hmm. So that is a very exciting observation,
yes.
An endorsement of the parental observation.
Right.
Anti-inflammatory medication, so the standard things that you would use for Crohn's or colitis. We found that probiotics, and there's a lot of work now on probiotics, being effective. Mm-hmm. So you've got the diet, the prebiotic, you've got the probiotic, the actual bacteria themselves or the microbes.
Have you seen any evidence of supporting, we talk about anti-inflammatories, looking at more natural mechanisms like the increasing omega-3 intake, for instance?
It's not been looked at in a formal sense, but again, the anecdotal impression from parental experience and the collective experience of physicians using this is that there's benefit.
Yes.
Nutritional supplementation, so replacing the things that in which the child
is
may
deficient.
Be deficient, is terribly important, and mm-hmm. particularly when you start treating the bowel disease, because if you treat the bowel disease and these things start to be absorbed and utilized and the child starts to grow,
yes.
they're going to need more than before,
because
they're
point.
Assimilating them into protein and to other bodily structures. They need an excess, not just the baseline level,
they need more,
because suddenly they've got this huge growth spurt. And this mm-hmm. is one of the things that we see quite dramatically in children with Crohn's or children with this autistic bowel disease, is
sure.
once you start treating them, take the brakes off their growth, then they go through this dramatic growth spurt, and they need excessive or additional supplementation.
Yeah, I think in terms of deficiencies, if you can't assimilate, of course, and you're in a growing child, your development is going to be harmed in probably every way. And it makes sense if you, as you said, pull the brakes off. I like that. Suddenly now the body's going, okay, we can go back into growth and healing. Now, I liken this to what cellular biologist Bruce Lipton. Have you ever met Bruce yet?
No,
Bruce Lipton? Oh, sensational. I mean, he lights up a room. And this guy, is top level. He's taught in medical schools and, published, et cetera. And he wrote about the biology of belief, the biology of complementary medicine, and found that the cell could be in one of two places. It's either in growth and healing or it's in protection. Kind of fight or flight. It can't do both. It's either trying to defend itself or it's in that motion, reproduction, growth, etc. And so what you're talking about is taking it out of that fear, fight, or flight and putting it back into growth and healing exactly the same way he is, a cellular biologist, described brilliantly. So it confirms a lot of things that we've been looking at for many years.
The other thing to bear in mind, that's a fascinating observation. I've got to go and read that. But
I'd like it.
Is that if you don't get these children, if you don't correct that failure to thrive, if you don't address that issue
mm-hmm.
before a certain age, before puberty, then there's going to be permanent growth failure. So it's very, very important to recognize it early and to get on and treat it aggressively
mm-hmm.
And replace those nutritional deficiencies.
Sure.
Provide the extra energy that they're going to need for cellular metabolism and growth and get them to where they should be.
I would say one of the keys that I've seen also is a depletion of selenium. Because of the binding out of the heavy metals, the mercury, I mean, that takes it away. No matter what it is, that to me is a number one. It's not like I'm an isolationist in that sense, but I found tremendous benefit by replenishing the selenium that is bioavailable to suddenly now, you know, we talk about excess, we've got to, you know, bind out that which is accumulated. Now, I utilize, of course, homeopathic medicines to also alert the body and try to start dumping these things as well. But the point is that there's a lot of assault or insult present that needs to be bound and brought out. The liver, the pathways, phase one, phase two, need to be enhanced as well.
Absolutely. So, and I think there's now a very good paper that's come out of Jim Adams at the University of Arizona showing that nutritional supplementation, quite apart from diet and everything else, is beneficial to these children. So clearly, there are deficiencies. Those deficiencies have probably been present for many years and have become quite serious by the time the children actually come to see us, and they need correction.
And I see another thing when I talk about toxicological assault. We're talking a generational decline. I've seen this with animals that have shorter lifespan, talking with veterinarians that identified that the vaccine site-specific cancers associated with yearly shots like rabies, etc., they began to instruct their veterinary students that when you go out and do this, now you must move the vaccine every year, yet they're still seeing cancers. So we also see links to much worse than even the autism spectrum as well. But if we look at the toxicological measurements, even in cord blood, in placental fluids, toxins, nanotech from sunscreens, for instance. I mean, there's a lot of things that are depleting even in utero, so they're coming out already, you know, with a lot of, let's say, little X's on them to add to the insult, where maybe we're seeing more of these overt extreme reactions to vaccines than we did before when we were healthier, so to speak.
Right, because our immune system is already compromised and we simply can't handle it, or we're already in a state of oxidative stress and we just can't deal with it. And as Dr. Landrigan from Mount Sinai Hospital in New York has, in fact, described this as a massive toxicological experiment on our children.
Yes.
Of course, it's not a scientific experiment because it wasn't intended. There are no endpoints. There are no measurements. There is just, as you say, a declining effect in the population, a detrimental effect across the board that is a generational effect that will get worse and worse.
Yes. Well, I think that they either have to acknowledge that, or which it can be embarrassing for some, that the entire vaccine agenda, the schedule, is not based on sound science, but politics and economics. And that, you know, something they're reticent to do, as by evidence by their attack on you for simply observing and reporting on what you saw.
Yes. I think there's a lot to cover up, a lot to hide. I think that the truth is they know. I think that the truth is they know to the extent that they do not want to do, for example, a comparison of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children.
Yeah,
because they've already anticipated what that result may be. And so there is a huge effort, an ongoing effort, by those with vested interest to prevent the science being done that looks at vaccine safety issues. And that is a tragedy, because at the end of the day, what it's going to do is compromise public confidence in public health officials and their decision-making across the board.
Yeah, and I would agree that that needs to happen. There was a healthy skepticism at the origins of this country. I don't know so much about English history. My wife grew up for a number of years there in Oxfordshire, and she could tell me more about it. But the idea that we would look and regard our government with suspicion, that they would inevitably kind of do things that would not be in our best interest because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we're seeing that with the embracing, if you will, or the enmeshing of the medical and the governmental institution. You hear about the separation of churches. State. I've called for a separation of medicine and state. You know, I don't like the intermingling because it's created a scenario where here in the States, where as a homeopath, in most states, I can't hang a shingle. It's against the law. To do what? Something that can harm no one. And so it isn't for me, but it's for me, for all healers, because there are healers from all pathways, all walks. Some are medical, some are not. And in a true free society, we would embrace all of them and say, this is who you are, this is who I am. I'm not pretending to be you, you're not pretending to be me, but we'll be truthful about what we do, and we can interact. My best buddies in the world are MDs. You know, I thought they would hate me for talking like this. They've embraced it because they recognize the same problem we're dealing with.
Yes, I think the tragedy is for medicine, it's that doctors have become agents of the state. Particularly so pediatricians. And in the UK, to compound that, then, for example, to get bonuses, you had to meet a certain vaccine uptake. You had to give excess of 90-95% of your vaccines to your childhood patients, or you will not get your bonus. And so general practitioners became dependent upon that income, and the government had them where they wanted them.
Right, economic incentive. And, of course, here in the States, when you go through these medical training programs, you may come out with $500,000 in debt now And of course, if you are going to be able to repay that debt, you better play along with what they tell you to do. So there's more of that economic game, and it becomes almost like a mafia type of war, that this is how we can control those that are coming up in the ranks. And it's so far from the, you know, when you started the origin, I want to go, and I grew up little, I said, I want to be a healer, right?
Yeah.
To be in that, at a certain point, I realized that I can't do it. It's against, it would hurt me. I would be ill physically to do that, which they did to me growing up. So, you know, as I said, to your credit, and I'm not tooting your horn because we know we appreciate you here, but I really do appreciate your willingness to not only stand up, but to speak out and to be public about it, not because in many ways, as you said, you're not gaining financially. You haven't gained in stature in your community, so to speak. I mean, quite the opposite has happened, yet you're still here. And as I said, you'd like to think you'd make the same decision, maybe with a little more foresight, just like Gary Matsumoto. If he had known, would he have changed that decision? But certainly in the art of Kung Fu, you like to know the enemy you're dealing with. And many of us grew up didn't realize how big and bad they are, those guys that pretend to be our good guys and our good friends, until we go, hey, wait, what's that over there? So it changes a lot.
It changes a great deal. No, it's a fascinating learning experience. One day I'll put it all down on paper and pass that learning experience on to young medical students and say, guys, this is the way it is, and this is the way you've got to play the game.
I would look forward to reading that as well and getting that out. You know, you have an open door policy here on the Robert Scott Bell Show to get this out, and as things progress that we can't talk about today, I recognize, but there is an organization that's supporting some of your efforts. Can we at least mention them in their website? Is that allowed?
Yes, certainly. There is an effort to I filed a case, and that's perfectly we can talk about that. I filed a case against in defamation against Brian Deer, the journalist, and against the British Medical Journal and its editor-in-chief, Dr. Fernie Godley, for defamation. And they may well be coming over here to the state of Texas to face those charges. Now, there is a legal fund for that. It's called the Dr. Wakefield Justice Fund, and you can go to that website,
okay,
drwakefieldjusticefund.org, and hopefully, if you're motivated to make a contribution. To
We'll have that linked up at the blog at robertscadbell.com. Dr. Wakefield, it's a pleasure to connect with you in person, and I look forward to keeping up with the updates. As I said at the event the other night, you know, I want to keep, because we know that the old media, they're not friendly to this kind of information. They're not going to help us in any way to do what we're doing. I'm not asking them for help nor their permission. So we're going to do the end around. We're going to out-create them, as we've always done with Natural News, Mike Adams, and others that are doing great work. And, you know, just like I said, just give me a shout-out. We'll stay in touch. And whatever we can relate to the rest of the world that is ready to hear this and will help support these efforts, we're going to get that out.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Dr. Andy Wakefield, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
We've got lots more healing to do on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome to the United States of Health Talk Radio. Health talk that doesn't suck.
The latest news flash. There's good news from Australia and One Stop Health Shop. Now you can get the papaya products your body needs to fight aging and combat damage to the central nervous system. Products that aid plasma glucose level decrease, assist in weight loss, support wound healing, and combat many diseases. Papaya leaf extract actually reduces oxidative stress and boosts your immune system. The probiotic formula is documented to be antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants and is up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. Log on now to 1-stop-health-shop.com to see and read the good news about these 100% organic products. The good news is papaya leaf extract is now available from 1-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at EnterFood.com. Like me, the folks at EnterFood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, EnterFood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. EnterFood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. EnterFood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for
for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Innerfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Innerfood.com. That's Innerfood.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
Joined now by another great friend over the years here, only in the health freedom movement, but the health healing fitness movement. His name is Mike Torsia. He's had for many years the Operation Fitness. He's done such incredible work around the not only the Los Angeles Basin and Hollywood area, but also with kids in supporting fitness, great events and ways to get well. And Mike Torsia back on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Glad to have you.
Great to be here. I love it.
Always good to see you. And you've been at it with so many amazing events that you've been traveling around the country. I want to let all of my listeners know around the world because now they're listening, but certainly here in the U.S., some upcoming events, and we'll talk about that. But one of the things, you put out an email, you blast kind of newsletter, and I've been getting that for a long time. And you recently said some things about Dr. Oz, and I called you immediately. I said, Mike, man, way to go. You nailed him. Now, let's talk about what stimulated a discussion of Dr. Oz in your newsletter.
Well, the article was called Seeking the Truth About Dr. Oz. And I found that watching his show over a period of time since he's been on,
yes,
it's become very commercialized. It's become a game show.
Right.
It's driven to be mainly entertaining with a lot less, I'd say, information that's really truly something you can utilize. Mm-hmm. It seems to be product driven.
Okay.
It seems to have where there's certain products and certain things because there's an agenda,
right,
to push on the show. You know, like a lot of times, you know, people talk about, hey, this is like a documentary.
Yeah.
These are facts.
Right.
Well, as we know, a lot of documentaries are really not just facts.
They're
it's
propaganda.
Manipulative.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Michael Moore, he'll manipulate certain things.
Sure.
Well, Dr. Phil went from this really great, sincere, passionate guy.
Are we talking Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil? Because there are problems there, too.
Yeah, that's another one. That's my next article. But with Dr. Oz, I found that he was really, truly sending out messages for the pure fact of financial gain.
Right. These are what they call in the movies product placements. Right, I understand that movies are now made not just purely by being financed, but you'll go to Chevrolet or Ford and say, hey, who wants to be in our movie? Who wants to be an Autobot, right? And then they actually pay for it. So it seems like on much of daytime television like Dr. Oz Show, it's like, who can we get to pay for this slot and we'll feature your product? Is that how it's seemingly working?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll see the commercial later on in the show for the exact products that he's talked about, how to use these products to get certain nutrients. But the problem is he does not promote fresh fruits and vegetables. His philosophy is it's better to have frozen.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't see that episode. But
that's what really ticked me off because I'm going to schools and I'm lecturing how important it is that kids eat fresh fruits and vegetables and drink water instead of these bottled sports drinks and beverage drinks, sugar water. And now here he is, this renowned doctor who's got such powerful influence that he's telling people, get frozen. And when you get these vegetables, you could break open his pack and put it in a microwave and heat it up. Now, it's a plastic bag you're putting in the microwave.
He did not say put it in a microwave. He said it put it in the microwave?
Yes, he did. And that's what I got off my couch. I got my pad and I started writing old school. And all of a sudden, I saw all these things he was saying. You know, cooking with the Teflon pan and using the spray, the vegetable spray, with the propellant in it. Without identifying that you can get the pump spray.
Yeah.
You could put olive oil in a pump bottle.
Can you open a thing and pour it out? I don't know. What happened?
Well, that's my problem with him. He's first talking about you need to get away from the chemicals and the processed foods. But then he'll tell people to get the frozen vegetables in the microwave and cook with the Teflon and use the sprays for propellant.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me.
You know what bugged me the most about what I saw originally? I don't know when he started, but I remember watching him early on going, okay, seems to be all right. And then it was the vaccine issue, the flu shot. And he was like, yes, I think it would be better to get a flu shot. Now, then he was asked, I think it was on a CNN interview, maybe it was even Larry King, when Larry King was still doing CNN interviews. And it's hilarious. So did you get your kids the flu shot? Did you give your kids? Well, my wife wouldn't let me. Right then, I knew his wife was smarter than he was, right? That she was, and I got to, she's a nice lady. I got to introduce her at the Health Freedom Expo, I think in Chicago last year. She, you know, like I said, we had a nice rapport. But as we talk about Oz, we were talking off the air a little bit about this. If I weigh it out, he's doing a lot of good because obviously he's driving people toward more natural things. But it also shows me the vulnerability of people to just believe anything that's said just because, well, he's more natural, so we got to believe 100% of what he's doing. And you said it yourself. You're at, what, Trader Joe's, wherever they say 2 hours after his show, whatever he talked about is sold out.
Yes. Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, within 2 hours after the show, whether it's a supplement or some kind of cereal, whatever it may be, beverage, they are sold out.
Yeah, so it tells you the power this guy is wielding, why they want to pay so much to have their product featured in that. And so I think it brings to light the ability to use rightful discrimination. Like, you know, if I've known you for years, and why I like you is because I noticed that you were very discerning about it. You weren't just, blanket it. You were actually going through the fitness industry, looking at all the powders that they concoct to say you will build muscle, and you just destroyed that industry because you said the truth about what was in the stuff. And I hadn't heard anybody doing it. I said, this guy's good. That's what we needed more of.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, I recently did a piece on NBC on energy drinks. I tore them apart. I ripped them apart.
You mean there's bad stuff in energy drinks?
Well, you know, I not only talked about the ingredients being toxic, but the fact that people are now getting addicted to it, they cannot function without it, and what happens to them internally with the adrenal glands and the pancreas and the spleen and the kidney and the kidneys and the liver being inflamed. So it's not just the fact of these toxic ingredients, but then how it's affecting their moods, how they can't function without it, so they're dependent on it. I had one woman that shared with me that she drinks 9 of these, I won't even say the company because I won't even promote them, of these energy drinks daily, and she's been doing that for over 3 years. So you can imagine what her liver enzyme count is, and her adrenal glands are shot.
Wow.
So the power of addiction from these energy drinks are terrible. So I've actually banned any of my events that have those products.
Right. Well, what are some of the ingredients that you noticed that were really kind of, hey, this doesn't belong into something that's healthy?
Well, you know, what happens is they'll put the major, you know, ingredient will be the caffeine.
We're pumping caffeine in there.
And then other, forms of caffeine so there's a massive amount of caffeine. Then you're putting the dyes in there.
And a lot of the synthetic vitamins, too. Doing that, synthetic vitamins.
Yeah, so then you're compounding it. The dangers of it become so toxic. So now, instead of what you're thinking is this natural, the can looks like it's some kind of organic product, but it's not.
Yeah.
And so you're pumping all these chemicals into your body. Then you're running your body really hard and fast all the time.
Yeah.
And then when you don't have it, you feel tired, so lethargic, and you're irritable because now you go through with the withdrawal, so then you have to have it. So that dependency is my problem, too. It isn't just those ingredients, but what happens to the chemistry of the body.
Right, exactly. So if we come back to, taking apart certain areas, industries, and sub-aspects of these industries, like the energy drinks, bodybuilding-type supplements, we come back to the generalist that is a Dr. Oz on TV. As he said, I will give him his props for some of the good things that he does, but I am not willing to sell out and compromise in the ways that I believe and perceive. He is certainly on the vaccine issue, which was horrific to me that he would do that. And he's been confronted on it, and he still, won't back down. I think he values the contract he has with whatever syndicator he has more than he values, to me, the integrity of standing up for what's right on that level. But shocking that he says, just throw stuff in the microwave in plastic. Even that, I'm going, oh, come on. Because I didn't catch the episode, but I believe it. If you said he saw it, I'm like, wow.
Well, also, too, he was on the Today Show. And that's where I saw it again with the microwave.
Yeah.
And he was claiming that the microwave is fine, you don't have to worry about it, and that you could put these frozen vegetables, and the reason he felt the frozen vegetables were better because the bacteria.
No, he went on the
bacteria.
This guy's still duped by the germ theory.
Exactly. Yeah. So I felt that he needs to really make a correction because he's so powerful now. He could call his shots like Oprah did.
You think he's not? If he is,
Not doing it. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe his wife has more guts than he does. Yeah. You know. But I watch his show just to get information to see where he's faulting. Some things that he does share is really great.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you start to now add in all these other things, it pollutes the message and really, to me, affects his credibility.
Right.
He's lost great. I lost respect for him after seeing several times what he's done. But when you watch his show now, it is sometimes so silly. Mm-hmm. And the commercials they do, you know, about wait to watch Dr. Oz and share with you this new way of losing weight, this supplement that'll just melt the fat off your body.
Yeah.
Now, it's almost making these claims where I wish the FDA would go after him, you know, because they're doing these commercials, which mean, I got to watch that at 4 o'clock. Oh, my God.
Right.
I'm going to learn about this really great supplement
and,
out there.
You know, it's not like we're big fans of the FDA either, but, you know, at a certain point, you say, how are these guys getting away with it? And ultimately, I recognize it's our own willingness or desire to be duped. You know, we're looking for someone to follow. We're looking for a leader. And our message, and what I respect your message, is like, I don't need you to follow me. We're trying to empower you to make these decisions, better decisions, discriminate, discern between all of these things. Now you're better schooled. You can go out to the world. You don't have to worry about me, right? And I think that's, to me, it may not be as an economically beneficial message, but I think I sleep better at night doing this, and I'm sure I know you do as well. And, you know, that we're pointing out this. We're not trying to instigate anything with Dr. Oz. In fact, Dr. Oz, if you're listening or your wife, call us. Let us know. I'd be happy to talk to you about it, your perspective on it. But, you know, we're going to speak from the heart and honestly about the things we perceive. Now, you have a lot of events where you do this. You empower people in so many ways. I've been to some over the years. I'd love to get back to some of them. But there's some upcoming. Can you talk to my audience? Because they're all over the country. Maybe they'll be able to participate and go to some of these.
Yeah, it'd be great. I have one coming up in Los Angeles. It's in the Santa Monica Place. It's a brand new mall. It's 3 levels. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's a lovely place where it's mainly outdoors. And I felt it'd be beautiful to have something in May. It's the day before Mother's Day. They average over 50,000 people that day, and that gives me access to the heart of Los Angeles. And then this way, when we have people like yourself guest speak, you have an audience there. And these are the people that are the consumers out there buying the products and being misdirected by the media.
Right.
So I feel what a great way to get the heart of America is going to key cities and going to these malls where people are there in a good mood, they're there to shop and have fun. And then they see our health and wellness and our fitness demonstrations and lectures, and quality companies have really great products so they can really have the tools and the resources to make the necessary changes to become healthier. So our concept is go to the mountain instead of trying to get the mountain to come to us.
Right, right, right. Yes, bring it down, bring it down. So where and when will this be again so we'll have everybody access
May 12th, Santa Monica Place here in Santa Monica, California. And, and then we have another one at the MetLife Stadium. And that's going to be in, the date was set, it's June 22nd and 23rd. And that's going to be massive. We're going to have close to about 100,000 people there.
MetLife Stadium, where is that?
That used to be Giant Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Okay, wow. I'm going to be in New York City that weekend for the Alive Foundation event. So I won't be far from there. Maybe we can connect on that.
Yeah, and then we have one coming up June 30th and July 1st. And that one's in Boston.
Boston, okay. Now, for those that want to look at this on the web, where will they go? What website should they check out?
OperationFitness.com.
Okay.
They'll see schedule of events. They can click on that, and then it'll bring down the drop-down menu and it'll list all the different cities. And when they click, it has a slideshow of what the stadium looks like and the days and how many people that'll be attending, so you can get a real good picture of the kind of massive crowds we get.
Wonderful. Well, it's very exciting. I look forward to hopefully being able to get to some of them. And my listeners out there, listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. You can plug in with Mike Torch at OperationFitness.com and see all the dates and times where he said L.A., New York, New Jersey, and Boston coming up. Mike, it's always a pleasure to see you. You're welcome anytime. You know that.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for helping me rock the health world.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation. And you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City and live streamed globally.
Why should you support? This benefit will be standing behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world.
Visit AliveNewYork.org today for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. Join the cause today and be the change.
Listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott,
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn, today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Continuing now with our ongoing man in the Health Freedom Expo Street. It's a man. He's a Superman in my mind. Jeffrey Smith is back on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Jeffrey, my man, so good to see you.
I'm very glad to be here. I just flew in.
Yes.
From
where? Where were you?
Connecticut.
Connecticut.
And Connecticut and California are like looming large on the GMO horizon. Connecticut has a bill before the House and Senate for labeling GMOs. And California has a ballot initiative where signatures are being gathered as we speak all around us for a ballot initiative for labeling. So the contest is on. Will it be Connecticut?
Or California?
Exactly.
Well, the C words in this time are very positive. Connecticut, California, who's going to do it? And we'd love to see it because certainly if California does it, you talk about labeling in school textbooks. If California says this needs to be in textbooks, suddenly the whole country has to do it because they can't print up separate. So I'm imagining even Connecticut, which is decently populous, it would have an impact on the entire country. It would start rolling dominoes, perhaps.
Well, think about it. Let's say you're selling food for Kraft Foods, and you've already removed all genetically modified ingredients from their European brands and their Japanese brands, and now you find out that you have to label it in the United States, and 53% of Americans say they would avoid GMOs if labeled. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to remove GMOs because you're not going to lose any customers by doing so. No one wakes up in the morning desiring their daily dose of Roundup-laden food or food that which is the herbicide that's sprayed on Roundup-ready crops that are genetically engineered, or the pesticide-producing corn. No one looks for their BT toxin designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them and figure that maybe the EPA has it right this time and that maybe it won't hurt them.
Right, right. Well, and there's the argument that a large federal bureaucracy is not likely to respond to the people, more likely to respond to those who could lobby it into special privileges, if you will, or exemptions or exceptions to the rule. That if we could go down like here, the state level, why I'm working a lot with the 10th Amendment Center, the idea of using the 10th Amendment against the feds when they violate state and personal rights, we have remedy under the Constitution, even if they ignore it. So this is all tied into that.
Yes.
Absolutely tied into
and
that.
And it's interesting, in Connecticut, I've always sort of shied clear of the political solution for GMOs because the tipping point of consumer rejection seems so much easier and less about going against the strength of Monsanto, because Monsanto's strength is in manipulating government, regulators, farmers, media, etc., but not about changing people's uneasiness with GMOs.
Changing their minds, yeah.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 Americans want it labeled. Most Americans would avoid it if labeled. But in Connecticut, I was giving a press conference at the State House, and I was introduced by Representative Roy, who introduced the bill, a 20-year veteran. And flanking us were the most conservative and the most liberal members of the Connecticut legislature in favor of the bill.
You're bringing left and right together again.
Republican, yep. Democrat, conservative, Republican. Everyone says basically, we have the right to know. Now, some people were into the message that we can't trust Monsanto because essentially, if you look at the FDA law, and I know you're aware of this, the policy says we don't have to evaluate GMOs whatsoever because Monsanto does it for us. And so the same company that told us that PCBs, Agent Orange, and DDT were safe can determine if your breakfast cereal is safe. Mm. And that is basically what the argument, it was interesting, I was on NPR in Connecticut last Thursday, and following me was a member of the Farm Bureau, and they receive a lot of money from Monsanto, so they obviously have to support whatever they say, and they're against labeling. And the big conclusion that this man had was, I trust the government, and we should trust the government. And if the government doesn't require labeling, we don't need it. But if you look at who in the government is looking out for us, again, mm-hmm. the FDA says Monsanto will determine it for us. The USDA just said Monsanto can do its own environmental impact statements. And we'll, in fact, we're going to speed up the whole process so it can happen in half the time. The EPA ignores its own scientific advisors and just goes with whatever is written for them by the biotech industry. So if he's saying we trust the government, then by inference we're saying we have to trust Monsanto, who last week on Saturday was written up in the Wall Street Journal as having to spend yet another settlement, this time $93 million, mm-hmm. to pay the people that they poisoned. In this case, it was Nitro, West Virginia, with Agent Orange.
Right. And $93 million to them would be like pulling a buck out of our pocket. Honestly.
Hey, buddy, can you spare $100 million?
Yeah. And that's what we see with biotech and also big pharma. So that the wholeness that was made through the courts, of course, is not even close to the compensation needed to, that's affecting the entire population of the planet at this point.
And then it becomes a motivation to continue that behavior.
Sure.
Because as long as you can make more money by hurting people, knowing that your remedy is going to cost you less than the profit that you make, mm-hmm. then the system is promoting that type of behavior.
Yeah. What kind of movement on in awareness of divesting? Mike Adams wrote recently about divesting of certain things like the pharmaceutical stocks, etc., biotech as well. Has there been any traction on that? Because you look at profitability in a weak economy and people are going, gosh, I got to make money somewhere. And they kind of park their moral compass, ethical compass, and say, well, I'm still going to hold the stock.
You know, I haven't seen any movement, but I don't really look in that field. Mm-hmm. But I am talking to more and more people who are investors and investment analysts, and they actually are asking me for information about Monsanto and their future. And I think there is a sense that investors are nervous. Mm-hmm. They're looking at what's happening in the United States. And I think what's happening in the United States is that the message about the health dangers, which is getting stronger, and I want to talk about that in a minute, because some of the information I have is actually shocking for those that aren't. It was shocking to me in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
That it's starting to gather a strength and a momentum and a critical mass, and that is now reaching an expression in the move for labeling. So there's been 19 different states that have had labeling bills, plus California has the ballot initiative, which may have the best chance of passing.
Right.
And that's an expression of this non-GMO revolution which is occurring. So I think that that's going to be reflected in the wise and studious investors as they look at what's happening.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. 1077, we're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
So what's the shocking information that even shocked you? I mean, it takes a lot to shock Jeffrey Smith here.
Well, what's shocking to me is just how immediate the change is in both the behavior and health of animals when switched from GM to non-GM.
Okay.
I mean, I'm talking about 2 days, 3 days, where everything changes. The behavior changes. The health starts to change. There's a person I met at one of the 5 farm conferences I spoke at this year so far, and he said that he was called by one of his clients, and the guy was so nervous, and he was stammering, and he said, "I got to tell you, you told me to switch to non-GMO corn," and he was running a pig operation with thousands of pigs, and he runs the nursery. And after 3 days, we saw a change, but we just joked, and my brother and I said, "Well, maybe it's the non-GMO corn." By day 11, he called this guy and was absolutely shaking. He said, the health is dramatically improved. The behavior is dramatically improved. They don't lie down all the day. They play like little piglets. They're like it was 14 years ago when we switched to GM corn. Before that, they acted like pigs. After that, they were sick, and their behavior was bad. And the thing is, 14 years ago, they were also introducing these CAFOs, these factory farms, and they blamed it on that. So they didn't know it was the GMO until they switched to non-GMO. Yeah. Then here's some of the shocking ones. A guy told me at the same conference, his friend had miniature cattle, 36 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
They switched to GM corn because he ran out of the non-GM.
Yeah.
90% of his herd died within 2 weeks.
90% in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Did this make news anywhere?
No, of course not. Now, the thing is, I immediately responded, and this was brought up in the meeting, and I said, you know, it's interesting, in India they allow animals to graze on cotton plants after harvest, and I was visiting one village where 13 buffalo, all the buffalo of this one village had been eating, without a problem, regular cotton plants after harvest. They grazed on GM cotton plants designed to produce the BT toxin, and they died within 3 days after a single day of grazing. And there was another study done where 100% death rate among the sheep that were fed the GM cotton plants compared to zero symptoms on the other side. I talked to people. They talk about the behavior change in animals that have been fed GMOs. They end up antisocial, aggressive, agitated constantly. I've had veterinarians and farmers say that the animals look happier when they switch to non-GMO. And there was a scientist, Dr. Don Huber, who was speaking about the behavioral changes and the physiological changes in the gut in animals that have been fed GMOs. And a guy came up to him afterwards and said, "I'm a physician. I've spent my entire career working on autistic kids. And what you're describing is what we're seeing in the autistic kids."
Oh, behavioral changes, health changes, in gut intestinal changes. We've had enough, you know, as I've been witnessing this for, you know, ever since I've got into homeopathic medicine, these declines. But the acceleration that you're describing, the damage you're describing, is as horrific as the things I've been dealing with for so many years. You're just taking it to whole new levels that I'd rather not hear about, of course, but we've got to let loose on this because this information is just vitally important if we're going to salvage the next generations coming up, much less the animals.
And I'll tell you, there's some new research that when you put it together, it's kind of scary, and I'm going to do that for you, but I'm going to give you the... We have to end on a good note, okay?
Yes, of course. We always do.
So The reason why BT toxin, which is designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them, is in our corn supply and in our cotton is because the EPA and the biotech industry claims that it only will operate on insect cells and not human cells.
Mm-hmm.
A study came out a week and a half ago, Journal of Applied Toxicology, that showed that it works similarly or the same on human cells. It breaks open the membranes and causes them to leak. So that means that it might be causing the permeable gut,
mm-hmm.
which is now what many, many researchers think are linked to autism and inflammation,
autoimmune diseases
and all that stuff.
The very thing here at the Health Freedom Expo, you know, I'm arguing, you know, we've got to repair that, if anything. Now you're adding to the insult and the assault, the posters we have here talking about that if we don't have the...
But it gets a little worse.
Okay.
A little worse because in a study done last year in Canada, they found that 93% of pregnant women had BT toxin in their blood and 80% of their unborn fetuses. How did they have it so that it was so frequently produced in, you know, or in their diet that they could have it 93% of the time? Well, it turns out the only human feeding study ever published showed that genes can transfer from soybeans into the DNA of our gut bacteria and may continue to function. So if the BT gene transfers from basically corn chips into our gut bacteria and turns them into living pesticide factories, and it produces continuously and it gets into our blood, and that gets into the blood of our unborn fetuses, and it breaks open the membranes of the human cells, now we look at what's happening with the canaries in the kitchen, which in our generation is the kids.
Yes.
You know, the canary in the coal mine, this is the canary in the kitchen. We are seeing unbelievable, unbelievable incidents of behavioral and physiological damage. Mm. And if they're getting this onslaught of this dangerous BT toxin on a continuous basis from the time of conception, that might explain a lot. In fact, I'm speaking today on a panel with Dr. Michelle Perrow, a pediatrician, who says what she's seeing is unprecedented in the health of kids, and she believes that GMOs is a major culprit.
Liam Schaff, welcome back to the show here. Glad you're with me.
What are you guys talking about? This is science fiction, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, here's science fiction, right? They take spider genes, put it into goats to make to try and milk the goat to get spider web protein to make bulletproof vests.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, how about this? They want to release in our Florida Keys genetically modified mosquitoes, and they promise that they'll all create sterile offspring, except 3%, unless they're in the presence of tetracycline. Then it goes to
3% of hundreds of millions of mosquitoes.
It shouldn't really bother you, though, really.
But wait a second. You're saying that maybe Robert's, what did you say, antisocial rammy behavior, if we feed him a happy diet? No, he doesn't eat that stuff. It was me.
Happy diet.
So if I put myself on a totally non-GMO diet, which I've, you know, since meeting you, what was it, a couple of Health Freedom Expos ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to be honest. I didn't know that much about it, but now if anybody offers me GMO food, I just punch them once, hard, but in the arm.
Well, that's the general.
That's what we got
to
do here.
I got to say that I have talked to many doctors who prescribe non-GMO diets to their patients, and I've talked to their patients, and people talk about losing weight, getting over skin problems, getting over migraines, improving gastrointestinal problems, and allergies, of course. But with them, it's hard because you don't know if it's the switching to organic or less processed foods, because that's sort of what you have to do.
It's a little of everything.
Yeah. But with the animals, I talked to one of the top veterinarians in the country, Dr. Michael Fox, who's written 40 books, has a syndicated column. He says it's unmistakable. When GMOs were introduced, animals started itching more, gastrointestinal problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these people where they change. There's one guy that he switched to non-GM corn. His cows gave 20 pounds of milk more per cow per day, which is ridiculous. And so many people are talking about reproductive problems right now, and they're switching to non-GM corn and soy because they say that that solves the reproductive problems on their farms and ranches.
Well, we figured out one mystery.
Which one?
We were on a GMO airplane.
Well, that's it. That's why there was so much gas on that plane.
Gastrointestinal problems.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody on the plane. And we should have just gotten up and said, listen, do you understand what you people are eating is killing us?
Exactly. It is. It's desperately dangerous here. So GMOs, we want to reverse the trend, obviously. We talked about Connecticut and California for the listeners, because we have listeners all over the world, much less all over the United States, Jeffrey. Those of us in California, right, as we are now at the Health Freedom Expo recording this, or those listening in Connecticut, What do they do to make sure that their states become the lightning rods to change this thing?
Very good. So Connecticut's very simple. The bill is in the Environment Committee. Contact everyone in the Environment Committee on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, the next day you can, and call them and say, I'm in favor of your passing the bill out of committee, and then find your representatives online, your reps and your senators, and let them know you're in favor of GMO labeling. And with California, go to labelgmos.org, get trained to gather petition signatures, certainly sign it if you see it on the streets, and get involved. You see, right now, the entire world is being bullied by the United States. If you look at WikiLeaks and all the other indicators, we're the big bully on the block. If we can deflate the GMO status in the United States, we can turn the entire world around. If we can do it in California, we can turn the United States around. And it's simply a matter of passing this ballot initiative in November, and that's simply a matter of informing people and telling them the truth and giving them what they want to know. So it's an amazing opportunity that it's not common that someone can have such a positive impact on all future generations and all living beings in such a short time.
Like we can do now. Absolutely.
Is he saying that it's not Ahmadinejad who brought the GMOs to America?
It was
it was somebody inside of a corporation in the U.S.?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, an artificial creation of the state, of the government. Yeah, I know.
What is Bill O'Reilly going to do
with this information? Well, remember, Planet GMO, that lost episode of Star Trek. We got to remember that.
We should replay that.
We definitely need to replay that. Jeffrey Smith, we appreciate you so much.
You know, this dude this Jeffrey Smith, you don't know, he's a one-man. I only discovered his work. Somebody mentioned, I was just doing some printing the other day, getting some posters ready, and somebody saw some stuff about your poster about Gastro, and he goes, no, you should read about GMOs. There's this guy you have to read. His name's Jeffrey Smith.
He brought it up to you.
I might have seen him before.
At the printer. Oh, yeah, look at you. We're reaching.
I had a button about GM-free Hawaii or something, and I was online for an airplane to go to Kauai, and someone taps me and says, oh, yeah, there's a lecture tonight there. You may want to go to it. And he didn't realize I was giving the lecture.
Nice.
Sometimes it happens.
Well, tell me quickly, I know you got to run to the lecture and we got to get some more interviews here. Other websites we should always be reminded of.
Okay. So, responsibletechnology.org. That's kind of the hub of information. I just pour stuff in there. We've got videos for you to watch, audios for you to listen to, articles, and be a click and send revolutionary. Get the word out to your Facebook and to your email list. Then, so after responsibletechnology.org, you sign up for the Spilling the Beans newsletter. It's free. Then click on over to nongmoshoppingguide.com and save a life and a family and a community by figuring out how to avoid GMOs. Thousands of products listed are third-party verified as non-GMO. And seedsofdeception.com is going to have a facelift. I haven't actually said it on air in 3 years because I've been kind of embarrassed because I think the latest posting was in the early 18th century. But what we're going to have
Hear ye.
Yes, exactly. Everything's in Old English or Latin. And so we're going to have a facelift there, and I'm going to be announcing a new film there very soon. In fact, Mike Adams is matching donations to help us get this film produced and promoted. So if you go on responsibletechnology.org, and you'll see an opportunity for you to make a donation where you will help drain Mike Adams' wallet in the direction of a non-GMO food supply.
Well, thank you to Mike Adams for that.
Thank you,
Take
Mike.
That, Mike.
Yay. Thank you, Jeffrey Smith. We'll check it out. All the links up at the blog today at robertscottbell.com, as they always are. In appreciation of all of Jeffrey's work, big hugs to you and your wife. We're always glad to see you here.
Yeah, thank you.
The Robert Scottbell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Drop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? ImmuneTree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show, special advance interview from the Health Freedom Expo in Long Beach, California. We continue in our series of great guests that inspire me and that come about. Hey, where'd you come from? Well, I got this book, almost fell in my lap, called Sunscreens, Biohazard, Treat as Hazardous Waste. And it's by a PhD, Elizabeth Plourd, and she's with me now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Elizabeth, so nice to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I so appreciate the opportunity to share this information.
Well, there's no question. I grew up in the generation that was basically told to fear the sun, and slather your kids, slather yourself with all kinds of nasty petrochemicals and other things, who knows what was in it, to keep us from getting cancer. It turns out doing that has actually facilitated the creation of cancer.
Absolutely, it has. Skin cancers and melanoma have both increased rapidly with the use of the sunscreens, and the book explains biochemically exactly why that's been happening.
Well, you talk about endocrine disruption.
Absolutely.
Right? Wow. Yeah, this is pretty bad. I mean, one thing we acknowledge here on this show is that we embrace nature, and that includes the sun and the facilitation of production of vitamin D endogenously, you know, how we interact. We know that just simply not getting enough sun exposure can create cancer. But when you not only don't get enough sun exposure, but you intoxicate the body from outside, the skin absorbs it, that compounds an already bad problem.
It absolutely does, right. And these do absorb into the skin, and the keeniest part of it is that they go through the placenta, and so they're disrupting fetal programming. And the disruption can lead to lifetime obesity, and the connection between the chemical as well as the lack of vitamin D is definitely showing the increase of autism.
Mm. Okay, you make an autism link here. Now, we see autism, they always link it to mercury. I've said there are always other toxic issues there as well. And although we'll acknowledge the inability to methylate mercury, if we will excrete it efficiently, that is more susceptible in some children. But if you bring a child into the world that's already intoxicated. You're talking about placental toxicity now.
That's right.
Then anything we add to that, a vaccine that, even though as a homeopath I'm not in favor of vaccines, but let's just say you would find a way to adapt and deal with it, you wouldn't be devastated by it. Now you're seeing more devastation in more and more people. This could be a big reason.
Absolutely, it is. And there's just no doubt. The evidence is really overwhelming. I have connected with, since this book was published, with researchers at MIT and UCLA, and combining all that research together, it is absolutely one of the problems. There are a lot of problems. The mercury definitely is, you know, one of the problems, but the sunscreens are part of it also.
Now, if we talk about the larger macro economy, if we will, we got the microecology, macroecology, the inside, the internal milieu, the external milieu. Here you have a picture on the front page, not only of protecting your family, but protecting the coral reefs. Now, are we seeing evidence of sunscreen toxicity specifically on the coral reefs around the world?
Yes. In fact, that's where my research started. I have been swimming in Hawaiian waters for 40 years, and I love scuba diving and snorkeling and the coral reefs, and have seen them dying over the years. And I was in Hawaii in the summer of 2010 and saw the media saying that coral reefs are dying due to global warming. And I was inching myself into the water. The water was so cool. And I'm going,
this is not global warming, guys.
Right, yeah, right. My research brain said, I need to find out why are the coral dying. And quite quickly, I found that the evidence that the coral die in 96 hours when they're exposed to the sunscreen chemical. Only 96 hours. And that's at a level that would be after somebody put it on, then showered it off.
Wow.
So it's at that low a level. And there's just no doubt. And so I thought that I would create a book just for the coral reefs, protecting the coral reefs, because I love them. I didn't realize that I had to be a hormone specialist, which I have been. I've specialized in hormones for 25 years. I'm a North American Menopause Society certified menopause practitioner. And because these are such potent hormones, that I needed that level of expertise in order to create this book to explain what is really happening, what's happening to this fetal development.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it all came together.
I love the way you think and you extrapolated, and you were interested in going below the surface, because so many just accept these broad pronouncements. I always said from the global warming perspective, it was kind of silly, because when I grew up, there was global cooling. We're going to hit an ice age. Suddenly, oh, no, it's warming. Now they're saying maybe cooling it. Oh, now it's climate change. And listen, I'm all about a good, clean environment, but why didn't they hang their hat on toxicology? On a toxic environment. That's what, it's global toxicology we need to be looking at instead of warming, cooling, et cetera. There's always going to be transitions and shifts. So what you honed in on, in fact, validates that we need to be looking at toxic poisons. Now, some things, you know, there's a lot of minerals in the sea, but there are also metals and minerals in some of these sunscreens. Can you tell me what we're talking about in terms of what would make something safe versus toxic, not only to the body, but to the environment?
Well, there's two types of sunscreen chemicals. There's the endocrine disruptors that act like hormones, so those are chemicals. And then they have the metals, which are titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. And those, in order to, so they're not to be the white opaque paste on lifeguards' noses.
Right. That was a lot of the zinc oxide, right?
Exactly. So they've nanosized it down to where it's not visible to the eye.
Okay.
And that nanosizing, that size is so tiny that it can go through the cellular membrane, it can go through the nuclear membrane, and it can go through the blood-brain barrier.
Is there any evidence of zinc being nanosized in nature?
I do not know of any.
Okay.
I do not.
All right. Well, you know, I think in terms of colloidal chemistry versus salt-type chemistry, organic chemistry, and the difference is when you have, let's say, zinc particles suspended in a colloid, it would be a much different. But I tend to think that in these sunscreens, that's not what they're doing.
That's true. Well, and it's so tiny. The phytoplankton, we've lost 40% of the phytoplankton in the world, and the phytoplankton actually absorb the zinc oxide until they burst.
Wow.
So it actually does kill the plankton also, which is the bottom of the food chain of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very disruptive. The endocrine disruptor chemicals, the fish become actually intersex.
Mm-hmm.
It's so disruptive hormonally that the fish actually have male and female body parts within them, reproductive right. body parts. And so if that's happening to the fish, what are we doing to our children?
Well, we do know there are increasing rates of infertility in both men and women, you know, into the transition from puberty happening at earlier and earlier ages, development right. of adult sexual features at earlier and earlier ages, more and more is happening. So endocrine disruption is something we've talked about in terms of xenoestrogens, pesticides, plastifiers, BPA, etc. But seeing it in terms of sunscreen, I mean, literally, they're saying slather your kids in this stuff. Still, they're saying the dermatological associations right. outside of Michael Hollick, Dr. Hollick, who wrote
right.
the UV advantage, right?
Yeah.
Is he in there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The whole vitamin D chapter.
Yeah.
He's all over it.
I interviewed him many years ago, very respected, and of course, was ostracized largely by the dermatological profession because he went against their sun is bad.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's right.
So have you been ostracized by, is there a PhD community that says, don't talk about toxins? What are you doing here? What is it?
No, I haven't. That's true. That's when, you know, with all this medical research, I'm glad I'm a PhD, not an MD.
Yes.
Because I have a lot more license to say what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just so horrified piecing this all together. There's over 700 references in the book, so it's all documented. And as I was piecing it together, I barely slept for almost a year because I was so horrified as to what I was putting together and seeing the damage that's being done, mm-hmm. not only to our children, but to the world's waterways. Because these chemicals are now in all the lakes and rivers that they're analyzing.
I tell you what, it is. It's frightening. And even people that are tending to be more naturally oriented still are afraid of the sun. I mean, it's like the fear has been so deeply embedded.
Yeah.
And by the way, anybody wants to learn more about this, Elizabeth Plord, we're talking to right now, you can go to sunscreenbiohazard.net, sunscreenbiohazard.net. And are you seeing some evidence that this book, your speaking tours and other things you're doing, is having an impact? Are we making a change? Can we at least transition people into truly safer things to put on the skin at least?
There are a lot of people who say, I always knew. I've had doctors say, I've always known this and suspicioned it, never had the time to do the research. Thank you for doing the research. So, And I've met a lot of parents who are saying, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do this to my kid anymore. And so it's just a matter of education and getting this out there quickly because, you know, I'm really concerned about our future generations.
Yes.
That we need to stop it now, not a year from now.
Right. So have you plugged in or made any recommendations, unofficially even, to some safer options for people?
There's a whole chapter in there on antioxidants.
Okay.
Antioxidants are really nature's answer.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, when you have a high antioxidant diet, it actually moves up in the skin.
Yes, yes.
Forms a protective shield. And that is truly very good solar protection.
Yeah, and we've talked about astaxanthin, right?
Absolutely.
That's a very popular thing.
Right.
I talk about all the protective micronutrients, elements, trace minerals, and sea vegetation. Seaweed contains a lot of these things. Even selenium, for goodness sake,
Absolutely.
Is a very powerful antioxidant
yes.
for it. You know, we're talking about oxidative damage if you have extreme exposure, excessive exposure.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about getting on the sun, getting a safe amount for you, and everybody's pigment needs are different. Right?
Absolutely, they are.
Yeah,
that's true.
The lighter you are, the more northern oriented you are. You don't need as much, but those that are very dark skinned and not pigmentally challenged like we are, I call that,
right?
Need more sun exposure to create the vitamin D and all the health that they need.
Absolutely, yes. A lot of the darker skin results in low vitamin D levels.
I noticed that, if you were from Africa or equatorial regions and you have more pigment and you go to live in northern climes and you don't compensate for that, you have higher incidences of breast cancer and other things. Did you see
absolutely.
That in your research?
Yes, it absolutely documents that. Yeah, I have a whole chapter on vitamin D and then the whole chapter on the antioxidants that have been proven. I was amazed at the amount of research that proves that certain antioxidant foods do protect against the solar radiation. So
fantastic. Well, this is going to be very valuable for so many, and I hope that this gets out far and wide. Sunscreens and Biohazard, Treat as Hazardous Waste by Elizabeth Plord. And, of course, the website, again, is sunscreenbiohazard.com.
Sunscreens, plural.
Sunscreens Biohazard. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Biohazard.
Well, I look forward to talking to you more, and this is a book that everybody should read to get up to speed on what's really happening out there.
Thank you so much. The hardest part about being a researcher and knowing the whole world needs to know is knowing the whole world doesn't know yet. And so I want to get that word out.
And see, most PhDs, when you talk to them, they just kind of talk and you don't know what they said. You did very well.
Oh, thank you.
Elizabeth, thank you for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We really appreciate your work.
Oh, thank you.
Lots more healing to go. Stand by.
Tired of the same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation. And you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual celebrity health and eco benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Continuing now with our Man on the Health Freedom Expo Street interviews. The Robert Scott Bell Show continues. I've got Dr. Bruce Ames with me, and a senior scientist, Nutrition and Metabolism Center, Children's Hospital Oakland Research Institute in Oakland, California, Professor Emeritus at University of California, Berkeley. Do you know my friend, Dr. Peter Duesberg, Professor
Duesberg? Oh, yeah.
He's a funny guy.
He's a little wacky.
We love him for that, though. Believe me. Yeah. We got health and healing. We dismantle all the myths of science anyway here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Yeah. So it's nice to connect with you. Everybody's been saying, you got to interview Dr. Ames, and you are here now. Tell me, what is your passion? What drives you?
Okay. I'm interested in getting nutrition on a firm foundation because most of the disease now is due to bad diets. Most of the world is not eating a good diet.
Well, there's no question about that. And, of course, we strayed far from it because we treat everybody in the allopathic medical world as if they have a drug deficiency rather than a nutrient or combination of nutrients deficiency.
Right. Yeah. And obesity, which is an epidemic, is going to be worse than smoking. Every possible disease is linked to obesity. You name it. Cancer, brain dysfunction.
But is not obesity also nutrient deficiency?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, even though you say, I am big, I am fat, but you're lacking minerals.
They're starving.
Yeah, exactly.
They're starving for vitamins and minerals because they're eating a completely unbalanced diet. They're eating a lot of carbohydrate and sugar, and they're not getting the vitamins and the minerals.
Yeah.
I think nature makes them hungry when you don't have your missing magnesium.
Yes,
The food doesn't have it, so they just get fat.
Now, you've been on this planet a few years more than I have, so you've seen a lot, and I respect that, right?
I'm 83. You're 80. A spring chicken.
83. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you got a few years on me. And like I said,
I work in the lab 5.5 days a week. And
Why the extra half? Can't it be just five?
Well,
trying to put us to shame.
No, Saturday afternoons, I do whatever my wife wants me to do.
Okay.
I say, see, Cara.
Right.
She's Italian. As long as she lets me go to work on Saturday afternoons.
Okay.
I catch up on all the debris that's accumulated during the week.
Gotcha. So, you know, you're doing obviously a lot of research, and are you still teaching actively?
No.
No.
No. Okay. I retired from the university.
Okay. So more of the investigation and coming up with these good strategies to help correct what we're all dealing with.
Yeah. So what we figured out, to run your metabolism, you need about 30 vitamins and minerals, about roughly 15 minerals and 15 vitamins. And what we've kept on finding is you got DNA damage whenever you were short of a vitamin or mineral. Now, why? And I kept on thinking, why is nature doing that? And one day it hit me that that's exactly what nature wants, because you get more DNA damage, you get cancer down the road, but it might be 10 or 15 years.
Sure.
And what nature wants you to do is survive and reproduce. It doesn't care if you live a long life. And so because all the selection is for that. Mm-hmm. And so when you get even a little moderate deficiency of vitamins, in any vitamin or mineral, mm-hmm. what nature does is it keeps it in those proteins that are essential for survival and reproduction.
So in other words, it's intelligence. It preserves it in the vital areas of function where the less vital areas are going to be more apt to show signs of distress or disease.
Yeah, and it disables all those proteins that are more long-term. And we find about half the proteins are what I call longevity proteins. They're making you live a long life. But some of them need magnesium and some need calcium, or vitamin B6, or you name it. But when nature's you find you're a little short, those get trashed. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's this trade-off between short-term and long-term, which evolutionary biologists have talked about for a long time, but in a different
right. Well,
area.
Hans Selye called it the adaptation syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Degree. No, yeah. We adapt to stress. But so what that means is all the RDAs are going to be wrong. Because they're all based on short-term
Okay,
factors.
I see what you're saying.
Now, some may be a little less, some may be a little more, but they're going to have to be redone based on long-term things. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that there are going to be a whole class of new vitamins and minerals because the vitamins and minerals have been found because of short-term effects. Mm-hmm. Beriberi or...
Scurvy. Sure.
But, in fact, half the proteins are these longevity proteins. So they're going to be longevity vitamins and minerals. And we've discovered one, and we have hints on lots of others.
So when you say we've discovered one, which one would you be referring to?
Well, I don't want to talk about it yet until it gets published. But it's a compound mm-hmm. that we don't make. We pump it in from certain foods,
okay,
and we have a transport system for it, but we don't make it.
Okay.
And we've discovered what it does. One of the people in my lab has done terrific work on it, mm-hmm. and it's a longevity vitamin.
Okay.
And
okay.
We're just about to write a paper on that.
Oh, I'd love to see it when it gets released.
But it's just the first of many.
Sure, sure.
So what that means is you don't get any of your vitamins and minerals, any one, you die. Because there are cofactors for your various enzymes, the proteins that do the metabolism.
Well, when we talk about vitamins and minerals, Dr. Ames, you mentioned cofactors. There's a whole idea of reductionism and isolationism that says, it's one thing. And then we take something out of nature and we think that does it. And we forget all of the ways it works in synergy.
Exactly. Right? But what's happening now is you can look at all the proteins at once or all the small molecules at once. So scientists had to do the reductionism to figure out all the pathways, but now we're putting things together. Mm. And so all these new analytical tools are wonderful. So it's going like a rock. So the future is you're going to put your finger in a machine, and it's going to take a finger prick of blood. Mm-hmm. And one friend of mine is putting machines all over China because the Chinese are giving him lots of subsidies to do it in China first. He's an American. Mm-hmm. And another friend can measure 1,000 proteins in a finger prick of blood, 1,000 proteins in your blood.
Right. This measurement's going to tell us what.
But he's going to soon have all 20,000 or so proteins in human blood. He's can do it better than monoclonal antibodies. And the day these guys get together and some kind of cooperation like that will come, mm-hmm. it means in the future you'll put your finger in a machine, it'll analyze biomarkers for magnesium deficiency or selenium deficiency or mm-hmm. or B6 deficiency, and it'll tell you, hey, you're too low. Mm-hmm. And if we have functional markers, they may be genetically different and need more B6 than I do.
Right, right. So they're going to be basically you're providing a tool, a new technology that detects certain things that can give you a blueprint or a pathway.
Yeah. So we're going to get to personalized medicine, just the way genetics is becoming personalized.
Yeah.
And what that means is the machine will send the results to your iPhone, and you cut out expensive phlebotomists, you cut out expensive doctors.
Oh, the doctors, they're not going to like this.
Doctors know nothing about nutrition in general.
Uh-oh.
And I've been going to my doctor for checkups for 30 years. Mm-hmm. He's never once asked me anything about nutrition, my previous doctor.
Right.
And he's a chubby guy. And one day I said, hey, Eric, you're getting too chubby. You should really eat a better diet. And he said, yeah, I eat a lot of junk food. I'm just too busy. And I gave him a 20-minute lecture on all the things going wrong with his metabolism because he's eating a bad diet.
Right.
That's what's determining our health. Or obesity is clearly dietary, bad diets. And we'll find that most of cancer, most of heart disease, it's all due to bad diets.
Yeah, well, there's no question. We would know that from a holistic perspective. As a homeopath, my mentor in homeopathy taught me the vast necessity for the minerals that were lacking in the soils even, because he became an organic farmer and found ways to bring that up into the soil, into the plant, so that when we actually ate the plant, it was there versus the modern chemical farming methods that deplete or strip the soil so much that there's no longer in the food.
Okay, I could argue about that, but anyway.
So you're saying the minerals are in the food or they're not in the food?
No, one farm differs so much from another. There's really no convincing evidence that organic food is healthier. And I don't think the pesticides, that's a part per million. It's all a distraction.
But think about it in terms of, it's not one thing at parts per million or parts per billion. It's hundreds of thousands of things at parts per million, parts per billion.
And pesticides go through a lot of checking and all of that.
But how do we metabolize these synthetics?
Okay, but we
how?
We do, besides... every plant has 100 toxic chemicals it uses to kill off the fungi and the bacteria and the insects and animals eating it.
But not made by Monsanto.
No, but the fact that it's natural doesn't mean it's good. Aflatoxin, it's a mold toxin, natural.
I would agree with
you. The main pesticide before modern pesticides was lead arsenate. It stays in the ground forever, and both are carcinogens.
Well, and that could be referenced in cause of paralytic polio.
But so there's just no good evidence, and I think it's scientifically implausible. 99.9% of the pesticides you eat are these natural chemicals in plants, and the hit rate in finding carcinogens and mutagens is exactly the same on synthetic ones, except all the synthetic ones have been tested and weeded out. So coffee is just filled with carcinogens. But I wouldn't worry about it. I drink my espresso every morning.
Yes.
But it's full... The whole cancer paradigm is of testing chemicals in rats.
Toxins don't cause problems?
Well, it depends on the dose.
Everything's the dose, but if you accumulate...
But the amounts are too tiny to be plausible.
I would argue with you, not that that's wrong, because I say what you say is it is tiny, but it's not one thing. It's hundreds of thousands of things.
No, it's not hundreds of thousands.
And it's coming airborne, it's coming waterborne, it's coming foodborne.
But when you do the total, it's still tiny amounts.
At what level do we operate? At endocrine substances, hormones, enzymes, parts per billion, parts per million, parts per 150 billion in the body?
The body is designed... to live in a world of toxic chemicals, because everything we eat has toxic chemicals, natural toxic chemicals.
Sure, but we have enzymes designed to address these things.
No,
we've adapted.
Yeah, but they address, if you have an oxidizing agent, you induce your antioxidant defenses, and you combat it.
So you would agree with me, though, that the toxins deplete your minerals?
No.
I mean, how do we counteract it? How do we bind out mercury, selenium?
Oh, we have natural... One of my former students figured out that there's a natural defense system to chelate mercury and aluminum and sweep it out of the body. So the humans are very well defended against a world of chemicals, because we live in a world of chemicals.
Yes,
and the human diet has been changing all the time.
It isn't that radically.
We know about aflatoxin. We know you can get too much iron into you. That's bad for you.
But there are metabolic pathways to address these things. And if we talk about the man-made synthetic chemistry...
But they're general systems.
We haven't adapted that quickly to address those things successfully.
No, if a chemical is an oxidizing agent, we have antioxidant defense. If it's an alkylating agent, we have anti-alkylating defense.
So
our general defenses for all kinds of... you hit a sulfhydryl group, we induce defenses against that. You give a rat a little bit of radiation, it adapts and it becomes more resistant to higher doses of radiation.
So we talk about accumulation of these toxic poisons in adipose tissue, fat tissue, umbilical cord blood,
these kind of things. Tiny.
That's where life operates at tiny.
But relative to the amount that does harm. So I've studied this for 30 years, and my passion is preventing disease, and I think
I take that. I got that.
I think all this pesticide business and organic food is all a distraction from the real thing, which is getting your vitamins and minerals and eating a healthy diet, getting some exercise, all the things your mom told.
Not reducing exposure to toxins.
Nah, that's trivial.
Trivial.
It is trivial.
Oy vey is what I got to say to you. Oy vey.
Well, I can say oy vey too.
But I know.
If you scare people about thousands of minor hypothetical risks, you lost. And the really big risks,
yes,
we know, are smoking, 8 or 10 years off your life, bad diets, it's going to be another 10 years off your life, and or more. And obesity is a complete catastrophe.
But obesity is not the disease.
There's really no evidence that pesticides cause any harm.
Okay, all right. I don't know what scientific journals you read.
I read everything.
Everything.
Okay.
Dr. Ames, I'm telling you, I appreciate you. I respect you as an elder, but I respectfully disagree. My experience in my life has been...
I've written 150 papers on all of that.
Yes.
And, with Dr. Lois Gold.
Yes.
And the evidence just isn't there, and it's completely implausible toxicologically. If you look at what level of the compound will hurt somebody and what level people are getting,
it just doesn't make sense. Well, yeah,
I'm not saying that you shouldn't have rules about chemical companies. You don't want them dumping the garbage out the back door.
But I'm also talking about the difference between acute exposure versus chronic exposure, which you claim not to be harmful.
Well, it depends on each chemical you have to look at. Yeah. I've been investigating these scare stories dating from Alar and all these things and DDT, and they're all wildly exaggerated.
And where in terms of testing have they done multiple, combinations of these things?
My experience is when you do combinations of things, sometimes they're worse than the sum, and sometimes they inhibit each other.
Right, but you're not giving me scientific basis to back up the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of things at low levels.
They're not hundreds of thousands.
How many chemical compounds have been synthetically added into our environment that have never before been in recorded history?
In appreciable amounts. And they're similar. If you have oxidizing agents, you have defenses against them. This isn't what I want to talk about because I think it's all a distraction from the important things, which is eating a good diet. So you listen to your mom and eat your veggies.
Where can we learn more, Dr. Ames?
Well, you can go to my website.
That's what I want to know. What is it?
It's on here.
Okay, I got it. BruceAmes.org. BruceAmes.org. Anyway, look, I do appreciate what you're doing in terms of the diet and such. But my experience personally and with many of my patients over 24 years now disputes the issue of the cleanliness of the food not being important. I'm just telling you what I've clinically observed. Yeah. And you can throw science at that. That's fine. I would observe it and I would look at it and I would say, all right, it belies the fact of the results that I've seen in people cleaning up what goes into their body.
Humans are so complicated. Learning what's causal is very difficult. The epidemiologist joke is Miami's a weird place. Yes. Everybody's born Hispanic and dies Jewish. So that's epidemiology. Half the time they get the wrong answer.
Sure.
And people get all excited and hype up genetically engineered food or heavy metals in your thing. But in the end, very few of those make much sense toxicologically. The evidence is very weak. I'm not saying that somebody who's a pesticide applicator who's in a cloud of this stuff all day isn't doing himself in, but...
Have you studied the works of Bruce Lipton, cellular biologist Bruce Lipton?
I would encourage.
He wrote about the biology of complementary medicine, the behavior of the cell in terms of its one of two places it could be in growth and healing, basically reproductive mode, and fight or flight or defense on a defensive posture.
Yeah, people have known a lot about human physiology.
Sure.
But we're designed to live in a sea of toxic chemicals because that's all plant evolution is inventing new and better toxic chemicals.
And I'm here to say I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that, but I make a distinction between that which man created and synthesized out of petrochemicals versus that which came out of the earth and that, our known toxins and how we deal with it and metabolize it.
I realize that's the current religion, but I just don't see much support for it.
Okay.
Bruce, we could disagree on that.
I know, and I appreciate that. Listen, if anybody wants to comment on this interview, give me a call, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Comment on what you think, and you can go to Dr. Bruce Ames' site, bruceames.org. And learn more. Bruce, I appreciate very much you coming by.
Thank you.
Well, that about wraps up today's show, according to Super Don. So I have a minute just to tell you, thank you again for basically being with me every day and spreading this word for health freedom. The message is very vitally important to the freedom of all the peoples of planet Earth, at least all those who are ready to be freed. I'm not here, and nor are you, to free those who are unwilling to be so freed, so to speak. And, of course, healing through natural means is another method by which we can be led back to freedom among so many pathways there. So I'm grateful that you'd spend the time with me. Thanks again to Andrew Wakefield for joining me at the Health Freedom Expo, my good friend Mike Torsia, Jeffrey Smith, of course, with the GMOs issue, and Elizabeth Plord, as well as Bruce Ames. Hope you enjoyed even a little bit of the incredulity, but that's what you got. A lot of people in the scientific realm can't see outside to recognize the common sense, even the biological realities that are there with or without multi-centered placebo-controlled trials. For now and until next time, remember this, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
So raise your glass if you are
Scott Bell Show.